You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This morning's message is called Every Good Thing. Every Good Thing. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. If you're using the Bible app, it's written down for you. So good. It says in James 1 verse 17. This is from the NASBY version. It says this: every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Let's just expand the scriptures around that in James 1. Let's go 16 to 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. That's us. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Who's the word of truth? Jesus is the word of truth. That we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. We were his first chosen first fruits through Jesus. Talk about the principle of first. We are the first through Jesus. In the Passion's translation, I'm going to read a couple of different versions. They all just say the same thing, just in a way that some people understand it better or different. In the Passion translation, it says this. So my friends, don't be fooled by your own desires. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heaven with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. God is never subject to change. He only ever gives good things, and it streams down from a light-filled place. He is good and perfect. There is no shadow, no darkness in him. Only gives good things. God was delighted to give birth by the truth of his infallible word. The word is Jesus. So that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all his creation. Ooh. Says the same thing, just in a different way. About God, there is nothing shady. There is nothing in the shadows. There is nothing questionable. Pure, redemptive perfection. Never shifts the goalposts. Always remains the same. You're like, does that mean that he's always angry? He's never angry. Loves you with grace-filled compassion. And there's some scriptures around that further on that actually bring that to truth for you. I truly believe God's kindness and biblical truth, there is going to be some shackles taken off your mind this morning. The lens in which you see God, the lens in which you see Jesus is going to be perfected today. All the untruths that you've picked up along the way are being removed in Jesus' name. If you're wondering if every good thing or every gift is from God, it's the perfect gift that he gives us first. The perfect gift is Jesus. Not like, oh wow, I found this perfect gift for you. That's not the type of perfect gift I'm talking about. Oh, I found this perfect gift. It's a perfect gift for you. More like, this is the perfect gift and I'm giving it to you. Jesus is the perfect gift and he gives it to us. It's not just something he picked up along the way in the souvenir shop. It is the most prized and precious, pure gift that he gives each and every single one of us. Your perfect gift starts with God giving you Jesus. This is how he starts giving us every good thing. He starts it with giving us Jesus. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled by other things. God's gifts are perfect. God's gifts are pure. And God's gift draw you closer to him. Doesn't separate and cause space between you and him. It draws you closer to him. Why am I highlighting that this morning? There may be things that you're desiring after. There may be things that you've desired after and gotten, and you've all of a sudden realized that maybe it's actually begun to take you further away from God. Perhaps that's not part of God's perfect gift for your life. It was your own desires. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked by your own desires. God has perfect things to give you that keep you in perfect relationship with him. Does that mean that God wants to hold certain things from us? Absolutely. Absolutely he does, to protect us, to protect our families, to protect our mind, to make sure that the relationships around us stay strong and pure and don't dissolve into a mess. Absolutely God wants to withhold certain things from us. You're like, oh, but I thought God was a good God. We'll get into that. God is a great, good God. No doubt about it. He loves you so much. Loves you so much that we have become his favorite ones. God has favorites? Yes. All of us. All of his children are his favorite ones. You know, it's a while ago, Naomi looked at one of our children and said, "You're my favorite." And the other two were sitting there. I'm like, "You can't say that." She said, "Yes, I can. This is my favorite number one son. This is my favorite second son. And this is my favorite third son." Equally favorites. Equally favored by their parent. We are all equally favored by God our Father. Not one of us gets a bit more than the other. It's like, oh, you did better this week. You get a bit more. No. Every single one of us favored by God. You are his most prized possession. Let that sink in for a moment. You are his most prized possession. Nothing else that he has is more prized than you. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. He has the best plans, the best gifts, the best things for you. Settling for less is to set a gift, accept a gift that is not from him. Can I say it again? Settling for less is to accept a gift that is not from him. The best gifts, the best plans, the best things for you. The heart of God towards every human being on planet Earth is one of grace and compassion. But I got told that God only loves the Jewish people. I got told that God only loves the Christian people who follow him and get angry at everybody else who's not following. God loves every human being on planet Earth. They are his creation and he loves them deeply, deeply. You may have been taught or even led to believe through comments or remarks by others that God is so angry at people that he gets upset and if you enter the church, he will strike you from the heavens. Simply untrue and not really possible either. We're in a building with a roof. The roof will take the lightning strike. Like it's not even real. Maybe in the car park. No. That's not God's heart towards his creation. Psalm 145 verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love." That's what the scripture says. Let's stretch out around that scripture for Psalm 145 verse 7. "Everyone will share the wonderful, the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness." We did that this morning. So good just to hear you, church, just bringing your praises and lifting it to Jesus. "The Lord is merciful and compassionate and slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. See, I was saying it, but it's true because it's in the Bible. It's not just my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. Thank you, God, for showering us with compassion on all of your creation, not just the chosen ones. All of creation is showered with the compassion of God. See, in fact, God's heart towards his creation goes beyond merely having kind feelings towards you. He's extravagant in the gifts that he gives to each of us. He is extravagant in the gifts that he gives to each of us. There's probably a slide for that because I write it down. So you ever wonder, does God love me? Does God care for me? God is extravagant. He showers his gifts on all creation. Every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. I had to wrestle with this for a while because the word good in the English language has so many varied meanings. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm good. Code for I'm having the worst day of my life. How are you doing? Good. Code for this is the best day of my life. It's just a default. It's just one of those words that we use to cover a myriad of feelings and emotions. But when we say every good thing comes from God, we're not talking about this is the worst day of my life. We're not talking about this is the best day of my life. We're talking about perfection has come down and been gifted into your life. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Where does good sit on this scale of worst versus best, according to God's good things and gifts for you? What I'm asking us to do this morning is redefine in our heads what good and perfect looks like to God. To redefine what's God's goodness. Never withholding. Always giving completely of himself. Not withholding love. Not withholding his best for you and your family. So, but things get hard. Yes, they do. That's just life. But he doesn't withhold. He gave you his best first up. His first fruit gift to us was his first son, Jesus. He gave the best to you first. So for me personally, what does God's best look like, his goodness look like, not just in the big things, but in the small things too? So I sat down and what does that look like for me personally? Ask myself personally, what is God's goodness, his good and perfect will, what does that look like for me? So my relationship with God is God's perfect gift to me through Jesus. He is one of the every good things in my life. My wife is a perfect gift from God for me. She is one of the every good things in my life. I love you. My love of worship and playing worship is one of the every good things in my life that is a gift from him. My love of pursuing health in the spirit and body and soul is one of the every good things in my life that is a gift from him. It's God revealed, God given. What are the things in your life the circumstances, the situations cloud the good things? The trauma, the challenges, the angry boss, whatever your thing is, whatever's causing a forest to be in front of you and you can't see the other side. It's time to actually get to a place of perspective. It's time to rise yourself up above those things and look over to see the goodness of God. What are the gifts that is revealed in your life? Take a moment. Think, right, don't wait till later, you'll forget. Take a moment. What are the good things for you? For your family? The blessings? The job promotion that you didn't think anything of? God ordained. God given. God give perfect. Seems to minds explode as you say, oh. God wants us to know. God wants us to know. He wants us to know what the gifts are. He wants you to know personally what the gifts are. Why does he want you to know that? He wants you to know what the good and perfect things are so that you can treasure them and speak the right things over them. He wants you to carry them and carry them in a heart of gratitude. Thank you, God. I'm so grateful that you've given me these things. I'm carrying this with a heart of gratitude. My relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, I'm carrying this. My relationship with my boss, I'm not taking that for granted. I'm going to carry that with a heart of gratitude that you've brought me favor within my workplace, favor with where I volunteer during the week, favor within the sports team that I'm part of. I'm going to carry that with gratitude. All of these things I deserve because they're a good gift from a good God. Psalm 103 paints it beautifully. That's what it says. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. May we never forget the good things that he does for us. But if you don't know what it is he's done for you, then there's nothing to forget. What's he done in your life? What's he done in your family? What's he done for you personally? The Waymaker has made a way for you. Never forget the good things that he's done for you. He forgives all my sins, number one, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. Oh, thank you, Lord. He fills my life with good things. Goes on to say that he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Who wants to claim renewed youth in Jesus' name? Over joints, eyesight, we claim in Jesus' name this morning. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. Amen. And we join with him and we advocate on those people's behalf as well. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. This is God's heart towards you. Are you getting the picture? That every good thing, that everything that you have in your life is a stunning gift and has been personally provided for you by God. It didn't just fall into your life. The stars didn't align. All the sayings, God's perfect gift for you. The right block of land at the right time. Amen. Who can testify to that? We can. Our family can. The right builder at the right time. Who can testify? I can. What is it? What is it that he gifted into your life? The right university course? The right TAFE course? the right boss who took a gamble on you. It's like, well, we'll see where he gets to in 4 years. And it paid off. And now you're one of his best employees. Blessed are you for actually giving him the best after he actually took a leap of faith on you. Amen. Are we getting the picture? Let your life, your whole heart, give praise and live in gratefulness. Let your whole life give praise. Let your whole heart give praise and live in gratefulness for all the good things that he's done for you. Grateful hearts, full hearts, forgiven of sin, healing of diseases, redeemed from death, fills us with good things. Thank you, God. It's easy to look through the lens of life with an old lens or a broken lens or a lens that's blurry. For those of you who wear glasses, he's like, I know what you're talking about, brother. So you may know that God has given you his very best, Jesus, the very best thing. You may be hearing for the first time that God wants to give you the very, very best thing, Jesus. Truth be told, for all humanity, there are times when we are stretched. Life takes its toll. Work gets hard. Work disappears. Relationships break down. Loved ones pass away. Emotions are frayed. Family life becomes difficult. Loss and grief is real. Financial security disappears. Maybe you've had to move away from home. Your mind and desires get the better of you at different times. Relationships become clinical. The outlook seems dim and all hope seems lost. So, geez, that's a bit negative, Pastor. The truth be told, for all humanity, these are real moments for each and every single one of us. These moments are real, or at least the feelings are real that surround them, and they need to be navigated well. Not pushed down, not found in a place where you're just living out of hope, or even worse, that luck will be on your side. Hoping that luck will be on your side is really the reverse of faith. It's the other side. To explain it better, I'm pessimistically optimistic that God or luck or the universe will come through. Do you want me to say it again? I'm pessimistically optimistic that God or luck or the universe will come through. No. God has his best for you. He has every good and perfect thing for you. Our role in this is not to be tricked, fooled, or deceived by our own desires. God is not trying to trick you. God is not trying to tempt you. God doesn't do that. Oh, God's tempting me. No, that's not even biblical. We'll get to that in another sermon. But that's not even biblical. That's not even a thing. God doesn't trick or tempt anyone. Who tempted or tried to trick Jesus? The devil. 40 days of fasting. And he tries to get him, tries to trick him. Devil tries to do that, but our own desires try and do that to us too. You can't blame everything on the devil. I'm sorry. It's almost like a TV episode. Oh, devil made me do it. Didn't make you do anything. That's a whole other sermon as well, isn't it? I won't get distracted this morning. God has his best for you. Navigate these things well. Be reminded of God's goodness today and all the good things that he has done and all the good things that he will do. Let it stir a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude within you today. Let it stir a heart of gratitude within you. I say this today, literally begin to see. Visually, in your mind, spiritually, begin to see. Look through a lens of the Word of God. Let the Word of God give you a clear lens, unblurred lens. Let Him see, let you see those things that He's given you for what they really are. Not what you hoped they might be, what the perfect gift is that God has given you. They're real, but let the Word of God resonate in you. As it says in verse 2, may I never forget the good things that He does for me. You know, maybe some of those things that I mentioned before, some of those challenges I mentioned before, maybe they were originally good things that God gave you. Maybe they were originally good gifts. It's about to get real. Are you ready? Open up your heart this morning. Maybe they were originally good gifts sent from God Himself. But some decisions that you've made, personal or relational resistance to change, has allowed these things to become issues and unresolved things. Told you it's about to get real. They were originally good gifts. Your husband, your wife, your children, friendship with in-laws, friendship with the brothers and sisters, work colleagues, they were originally good and perfect gifts. But resistance to change within you, or resistance to change in somebody else, or both of you, has caused it to turn into something else. Unresolved issues. I wanted to give some practical takeaways around understanding this morning. I want you to be able to take this away and walk into change to see these things redeemed. Amen? How to treasure and redeem every good thing from God is what I'm saying. How to treasure or redeem every good thing that was originally a gift from God in your life. First things first, talk to wise counsel. If you've been trying to figure out that relationship by yourself for 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years of relational breakdown, and you're just like, I'm just praying for it, brother. I'm just praying that God will sort this out, that God will bring that person to their knees. Maybe it's not the other person that needs to come to their knees. Maybe it's both parties. Maybe it's both parties that need healing and redemption and restoration. Talk to wise counsel. This is a go-to for me. I know I've talked about this before. It's a biblical go-to too. Be open to God bringing healing, freedom, provision, and the breakthrough that you need in whatever space is a struggle. Don't withhold spaces from God. He gave His best to you. Give everything that you have. Open up the doors wide. Say, this is me, God. All the redeemed bits and all the stuff that still needs to be restored. This is me. I'm open to healing. I'm open to freedom. I'm open to provision. Whatever area, whatever space in my life needs breakthrough, I open it up to you, God. Be willing to talk to wise counsel for encouragement and perhaps find out how to activate good patterns and disciplines in your life. Why do I say that? If you've been walking in certain patterns for some time, breaking out of those things is hard. It's so hard. Doing it alone is hard. So hard. You know what? Life is hard enough without making it harder. Do I see that hand? Life is hard enough without making it harder by putting parts of our life in boxes and say, God, we'll talk about that when we get to heaven. There is so much more freedom for you right now. Take the encouragement from the wise counsel. Be cheered on from the wise counsel. Be accountable and be encouraged. Loving accountability is what we call it in this church. We hate control. Control is not, that's not God's way. We will have a personal choice to step into relationship with Him. He doesn't control us to follow Him. We love people in this place. We want God's very best for each and every single person in this place. We want people to be cheered on and championed in this place. We want you to be so sure about who you are in God, your identity is found in God, that when you go out into your workplace, your family, every space that He's called you to, that you believe that God has given you every good gift and has placed you where He's placed you. We want to see you do the very best in whatever that space is. It's a good thing, amen. Proverbs 11:14. Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. It's a good thing. Where should your wise counsel come from? Should it be from your peer, maybe? Is your peer following Jesus, heart and soul, having personal breakthroughs in their own life, following Jesus well, taking wise counsel themselves? If the answer is yes, take their encouragement, be cheered on. If they're just going to lament with you in the little hole that you've dug around yourself, that is probably not the person that you want to cheer you on and encourage you. I can guarantee you that all of the pastors who are at this church, we have a lot of pastors in this church. They all volunteer their time. Pastors who have come and placed themselves in this church. God has blessed us to have lots of pastors in this church. We've got more people who are being credentialed to be pastors soon as well. How good is God? He is providing people who can be wise counsel for you. Are they going to tell you what to do and what decision to make? Absolutely not. I've gone off the script, sorry. Absolutely not. They're not going to tell you what to do. Are they going to love you? Are they going to be a sounding board? Are they going to bring you back to the Word of God so that God can speak to you personally so you know what decision to make? Yes. Yes, they are. They're going to love you to the place that God has called you to be. It's encouraging, isn't it? Speak to the pastors, speak to the elders. Maybe your small group leader is, you've got a good relationship. They're the good places to start. They're the safe places to start. Place of safety. You haven't been called to walk life alone. You know, the circumstances of life may have led you to a lonely place inside, but that's not the good and perfect gift that God has for you. Life is not meant to be lonely and horrible. Things have gone on that have led you to that place, but I tell you the truth, you are walking away from that place this year. As you make decisions, as you put things in place, as you talk to wise counsel, you personally are going to shift yourself away from that place. Oh, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. He has the gift of freedom for you. Spirit, soul, body has the gift of freedom for you, where you are personally going to take that gift of freedom and come into the wide open spaces that He has actually called you to be in. Secondly, how do we treasure and how do we redeem those things? How? How do we do that? Philippians 1 says this. I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase beyond measure, bringing you into rich revelation and spiritual insight in all things. This will enable you, each and every single one of us, you personally, this will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and without offense until the unveiling of Christ. And you will be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness that are found in Jesus, the Anointed One, bringing great praise and glory to God. What's the other version I've got there? The NASB. Let's go to that. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. so that you may approve the things that are excellent, so that you may choose the things that are excellent, so you may approve and choose the things of excellence in your life, not the gifts that are left less than and not from him, so that you may choose to appropriate the God things in your life in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What are some things that can help us see clearly? Knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge, that helps us see clearly. Rich revelation and spiritual insight that helps us see things clearly. This will enable you to choose the excellent way of all, the most excellent way of all, and be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness, Jesus. Knowledge and discernment, rich wisdom, deep spiritual insight. Then we can approve the things that are excellent. Then we can appropriate the choices that are excellent. I'll bring it down into this statement for you. Discernment allows you to choose his perfect things and not be deceived by the other things. I'm not sure if that's in your Bible app. I'll say it again so you can write it down. Discernment allows you to choose his perfect things and not be deceived by the other things. Discernment helps you in so many ways. You can have spiritual discernment and perception. You can also have natural discernment, which is potentially, not for all of us, but potentially more like a questioning or even a mistrust based on broken promises or betrayals. Sometimes we talk about with a gut feeling. It's like, oh, I'm not sure. It feels a bit shady. That's not what I'm talking about. Spiritual discernment doesn't go on the gut. It's a revelation so you can see things clearly from God. Spiritual discernment is God showing you, God giving you a glimpse into things unseen, allowing you to see. See, discernment helps with discerning moments, discerning seasons, discerning situations. Is this God? Is this sin at work around me? Or am I listening and being deceived by my own desires? This is where discernment helps each and every single one of us. Or perhaps discernment, I truly believe that discernment helps with, is this reaping from what I've sown or haven't sown or needed to sow? Discernment lets you see things clearly. Maybe I needed to sow things in relationships and friendships and situations and I didn't. Maybe I sowed certain things into relationships, friendships, and situations, and now I'm getting the just rewards of that, and it's not awesome. Discernment helps you see those things clearly. But God, you said you're good, and you said you'll give me good things. Yes. Yes, he does. He forgives us. He's compassionate. He's grace-filled. He's merciful in our redemption. He pours out his goodness on us in our lives through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But there may be things that you're dealing with right now that are either in direct or even indirect connection to your decisions or lack of decisions in the past. Maybe direct or indirect in the words that you sowed or the words that you shouldn't have sowed. And to be clear this morning, I'm not bringing this up to make you feel guilty. This is a moment of breakthrough. This is a clear lens moment for you. This is God's discernment showing you what is it that I need to deal with? What is it that I need to navigate well to see restoration of all things in my life? Treasure, redeem. What is it that I need your discernment so that I can redeem those things that were once good in my life? I know it was a gift from you, but I may not have treated it well. I may have treated it badly. I may have neglected it. I may have made that person or that situation lonely, and now those people or that person doesn't like me. How do I redeem that? God, give me the discernment to see that clearly. I said before that perhaps originally those things in your life were good things. And I say it today, they can be good things again. Those things can be good things again. They were a gift from God. They were a perfect gift from God. And they can be good things again. Work gets hard. It can be a good thing again. Give me discernment, God. What do I need to do in my work situation? It can be a good thing. You can wake up with joy in your heart walking into work in the morning. You can wake up to your family in the morning with joy in your heart. Maybe it's gone down a bit of an offshoot from where God has actually called you to walk as a family. God can redeem that. What do you need to deal with to navigate that well, to see that redeemed so that it can be a good thing again? Work disappears. God can open a door for a new job. It can be a good thing again. Maybe if there's people in this place being long-term unemployed, work can be a good thing again. What do you need to navigate well to redeem that so that you can actually step into the job that he has for you, amen? Relationships break down. What do I need to do for that to be a good thing again? I need to seek wise counsel. I need discernment. I need conversations. It can be a good thing again. It may not look the same as what it did, but it can be a good thing again. It may not be the closest of deepest friendships that you originally had, but at least you can love each other again. Maybe God gives you a deeper discernment. In the natural, you might be able to come together and be friends, but maybe God has discernment for you so that it can go back to how it originally was. I've got big faith. Let God's faith be activated in you to see the redemption of all those things in your life. Family life becomes difficult. Making amends, restoration, healing, counsel, discernment. There is potential for family life to be a good thing again. Loved ones pass away. Grieving well and good counsel. Their memories can be good and comforting and be a good thing again. I don't say that lightly because loss and grief, it's real. There's people in our church right now who are seated here this morning who are walking that journey. Let God's grace and discernment and wise counsel help you navigate that well so that it can be good memories, so that it can be a good thing again. Emotions are frayed. Your emotions can be a good thing again. Or your emotions can be a good thing for the first time. Whatever it is for you. To experience joy and kindness and peace and warmth, it's a good thing that God wants to reveal in all of our lives. Financial stability disappears. Moving away from home, your mind and desires get the better of you. Relationships become clinical. The outlook seems dim and hope seems lost. If it was a good thing from God, work with him so it can be a good thing again. Work with him so it can be a good thing again. Just as the team comes to the stage this morning, it's about learning to discern. What is God and heaven's reward? What is sin at work? And what is my responsibility to seek restoration in this? What do I need to take responsibility for so that the good things from God can be good things in my life again? I want to encourage you. Today is about understanding God's heart towards you. Compassionate, grace-filled, loves you. And there may be people in this room this morning who are like, if you only knew the things that I've done, you would not be saying that to me this morning. There is nothing that you have done. There is nothing that you could ever do that will separate you from God's love and compassion and grace. But if you only knew, as far as I'm concerned, sin is sin. Please talk about sin. There's a reason I want to talk about it right now. You know, when I was at school, I stole a chocolate bar from the local shop. It says in the Bible to confess your sins to one another. So, you know, that sin of stealing something that wasn't mine is just as bad as the sin that you think is unforgivable in your life. It's a bit different, isn't it? Sin is sin. Yours might look like a greater scale, but there is no scale of sin. Some things are just a bit more accepted in the community and others aren't. It's still sin. Let's not talk about the legal system. Let's talk about God's grace. God's not legal. God's compassionate. God loves you so deeply, cherishes you so much. Accept His grace today. Accept it. Let Him in. Let Him in. Let Him into your heart today. Every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. Redefine good in your mind today. Romans 8, starting in verse 28, says this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance. You are His people. Even if you don't know Him yet, you're His people. And He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. Having called them to Him, He gave them right standing with Him. You are called, and He wants you to have right standing with Him. That means you're not cowering in front of Him. You're embraced by Him, as we've already heard this morning. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Every good and perfect gift, the glory of God is given to each of us today. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His Son, His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, when He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us of whom God has chosen for His own? Who dares accuse you? No one. No one. No one accuses you. For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. God Himself has given you the gift. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. We heard last week that we are seated as co-heirs at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. Not only are we there, Jesus is there, and He's pleading for us. He's interceding and praying for us at the right hand of the Father. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble? Calamity. This is a question that needs answering for some people in this place today. You're looking at your life like it's chaos. Pastor, I'd love to have you over for dinner, but I just don't want you to see what's going on in my house right now. It's chaos. Our emotions are frayed. The family unit it's chaotic. Welcome to my house. If you're seeking perfection, the only place you're going to find it is in Jesus. That's the only place you're going to find it. No Instagram families here, hey? chosen by God, given the perfect gift. But even when there's calamity, or we're persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Despite all of those things, let the question be answered this morning. Despite all those things, you have overwhelming victory in Jesus. You have overwhelming victory. He dwells inside of you. He empowers you daily. The Spirit gives you power. You have power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Not even the things that you've done wrong can separate you from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where our victory comes from. Amen. Why don't we close our eyes this morning? It's my prayer today that the kindness of God, the biblical truth, will encourage you to pursue powerful decisions and practices in every space of your life. It's my prayer for you today, as you've heard this word, God has been speaking you to redefine what His goodness means to you, what His goodness and what His good gifts are that He's given you. Every good thing that He's given you, redefine how perfect it is. Understand that He can redeem those things, treasure those good things, redeem those good things with His power, redeem those good things discernment, redeem those good things by believing with big faith in your heart. Maybe just start with a little faith. It's all He needs to work with. Just as eyes are closed this morning, I just want to make sure that all of us have an opportunity this morning to first of all know God personally. The first good gift that He wants to give you is Jesus. So that all those other gifts can be given to you, He needs to give you the gift of Jesus first. If you're in this place this morning, you don't know Him personally. God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for you. He rose again from the grave so that He could take all of our sin, everything we've ever done wrong, so that He could redeem us, so that we could be found being loved by Him, His sons and daughters. If you don't know Him personally like that, if you don't know His forgiveness, this morning I want to give you the opportunity to know Him personally. If that's you this morning, in a moment, everyone's eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and say, "Yeah, that's me." I'm not going to ask you to do anything else after that. I just need you to, I want you to have the opportunity to acknowledge, yeah, I need Jesus. I need to make a decision, a personal decision to follow Jesus. If that's you this morning, on the count of three, why don't you put up your hand? One, two, three. Yeah, that's me. I need to follow Jesus. To anyone, so yeah, I need to. Maybe you've once followed Him. You've kind of gone off your own journey a bit. You need to come back into relationship with Him. So anyone say, yeah, that's me. I need to do that too. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I see the hands. Is anyone else this morning? See, I need to. I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're watching online this morning at home or at work, if that's you, respond where you are this morning. Say, yeah, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. If you're watching this at a later time, online, right now, if you need Jesus, respond in your heart. Say, I need Him. I need to be forgiven. I need to be restored. I need to be redeemed. so that every gift in my life can be good and perfect. I need to be redeemed as his first, as his favorite. Just with our eyes closed this morning, I want to invite us to pray a prayer of following Jesus, asking for forgiveness, being forgiven. Just as your eyes are closed, we all pray this prayer together. If you're at home, if you're watching online at a later time, why don't we pray this prayer together, accepting Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I acknowledge that I'm separated from you. This morning, I open up my heart. Forgive me, God, for all my sin, everything I've ever done wrong. I believe that you're the Son of God and that God, you rose Jesus. From this moment on, I choose to follow you. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Best decision you could ever make in your life. In fact, as a church right now, can we put our hands together and roar praises for every single person that has followed Jesus this morning? Maybe you're watching online. We rejoice with you this morning. We rejoice with you this morning. Now we're gonna finish off this morning with a moment of praise as we acknowledge every good gift that God has given in our life. As we acknowledge that over this next season, we are going to see things redeemed in our life that we thought were dead and gone, lost and gone. That God is going to give us discernment. You have the ability to talk to wise counsel and actually see those things redeemed and resurrected as a good and perfect gift from Him. Amen.